This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison...
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
Because Serial... I listened to it, and it was very interesting. It was very well done, etc., etc. This Adnan Syed or whatever he was, you know, supposedly went away for this murder, etc., etc. And then this Making a Murder is similar circumstances where they're, dude was charged with a rape that DNA then said that. Then proved that he wasn't guilty, and then he got out, and then I haven't watched through it, but from what I understand, then he got charged with a murder, basically because that county was like, oh, really? Really, mother effer? Okay, think you're free? Like, that's at least the way they paint it.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, because a moment ago off the air, you said, you were like, yeah, it just makes me wonder, like, what the message is there, and I haven't really thought about
it.
But I'll say this. If the message is... which at face value, I feel like it is, and I feel like this is a good message. If in the message is, sometimes folks get locked up when they shouldn't be, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Whether it's for entertainment and Netflix or NPR or whoever it is makes a buck off of it, which they do. That's what Serial does. That's what this show on Netflix does. Whatever it is.
Wait, this show is on Netflix?
No. I wish.
Our show's on Netflix? What?
I wish, dude. We'd be laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, we could be the next Trailer Park Boys.
Actually, they'd be like, you guys have been on for 6 months and like haven't gotten one view.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to... No, keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, keep it on there.
Yeah. We just want to say you can see my show on Netflix.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, but if the message is, hey, folks are going to jail when they shouldn't be, then I'm all for it. Because I think because that is an arm... it's something we've talked about on this show, but it is a leg that the police state stands on, you know, is imprisonment. You know, whether that's the far out Alex Jones stuff of, you know, well, one day we'll all be in concentration camps. One day we'll be. I don't know. You know, but that having that in the public's mind of, folks are getting locked up for things they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking at it from the eye of, oh, marijuana, or it's not a big issue, or nonviolent crime, or things like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing to just consider, to give that some thought, if you will.
Yeah.
As we
which is
like
what we're
to
here
do
to
on
do.
This show.
Yeah. That's what we're here to do.
Speaking of, anyways, that being said. Welcome to Give That Some Thought. Obviously, we'd like to give some things some thought. Welcome to Give That Some Thought. Tripod Broadcasting flagship show. I'm Addison. Joining me, of course, is my ever-thoughtful co-host, Matt Hume.
How you doing?
If folks are thinking about, hey, maybe people are going to jail when they shouldn't, I think that's a good thing.
Sure, but I think that's
at
already,
face value.
That's already been in the collective consciousness of our country for a couple years now.
Since we've been locking people up.
Well, for a couple years now, at least, from everything from, you know, George Zimmerman to Ferguson to all these other things, the police state in which we live. And it's...
do you like that I have a real-life pit boy, Matt?
That's not a pit boy. It's an Apple Watch.
Oh, Jesus. God bless America. I really think that's shitty about this thing. I'm talking about my smartwatch for our listeners, obviously. If this was a live show, you'd get it. But I have a smartwatch, and it does smart things. but it shows me any notification that shows up on my phone.
Yeah,
which is, and I'll say this: it's awesome. I love that. It's hard to describe. A lot of people are like, oh, smartwatches, I don't think they have a utility yet. I don't think they've really settled into where they're going to be, even from the Apple Watch, which is obviously wildly popular, et cetera, et cetera. But it really is a collection of small things that really makes it worth having. Like, I got mine super cheap, $120, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love being able to glance at my wrist and, oh, okay, that's a message that I want to reply to now, or just, swipe that away. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But it's infuriating sometimes because now all it takes is a glance at a watch to be like, oh, that idiot texted me.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't want to hear from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't mean to derail.
I think if you have enough communication, it becomes useful. I don't have enough communication.
Yeah.
With people. I mean, I do, but not over the phone.
You're better now that you're on Telegram in terms of replying. I will say that.
You think?
And I don't know if it was just... I think your texts are a little wonky.
Well, it's because you can see...
whether people have seen it or not.
I know that you know when I've read the message, and I know that you know when I'm about to reply, so...
But do you know this? If you just swipe it away, like if you see it in the notification thing and then swipe it away or just leave it there, it doesn't show that you read it.
Yeah, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But even then, like, you still... I mean, you used to... I'd, like, text you, and it's like, well, we got a 48-hour window before I'll be like, are you live, dude? You
know? Yeah.
Now it's fairly quick, or quicker.
Well, you know, but thanks to the great app Telegram.
Telegram's a great app, yeah.
Anyway, what was we talking about again? We was talking about the prison system.
We was talking about that.
So, yeah, but is Serial and this mind of a murderer... See, I have a hard time empathizing with the people that I see on a documentary on the most watched... hold on. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. And that came from my wife.
Oh, really?
That's incredible. She doesn't usually send things of that nature. That's like something you would send me.
Yeah.
And think it's hilarious. And then I would look at it at work and I'd be like, oh, come on, man. Like, and then put it back in my pocket. It's pretty funny. My wife sent me a little comic here, but,
anyway, I have a hard time trusting anything that's on the most watched media service in the United States, Netflix.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And in the developed world, English speaking world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Netflix.
For the Netflix, the most watched media outlet. So
isn't it like when most bandwidth now? I think that the stats say it's like
when they want you to see something, they put it on Netflix and they you know make it on everybody's front page, you know, like one of the header, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Zena Ansari show or it's the TED Talks. Oh my gosh, my feed on Netflix is always filled with so many TED Talks.
See, I think I've ignored them enough. I don't see many TED Talks left.
See, I have a lot of like documentaries on my queue.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but a certain amount is documentaries.
So the TED Talks come in?
So the TED Talks come in all the time, which is like, I don't want to hear what the establishment has to say, you know?
Yeah,
about whatever it is. That is what a TED Talk is. Like, if you want to do a TED Talk, you need to have a certain amount of rapport within established academia or you're not going to get in.
Yeah.
They don't let just anybody do it.
Yeah.
So the fact that this isn't just... TED Talks aren't about, yay, science, or, you know, the boundaries of human thought.
Right.
They're nothing they're presenting to you that hasn't already been stamped and approved by both academia, the powers that be, the CIA, and the United States government.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's the same with Netflix. Nothing is on Netflix that unless the CIA, the government... and the powers that be want you to see it. The same thing with Fox News and MSNBC.
Yeah.
So if when it becomes an overnight, when How to Make a Murderer or whatever it's called.
I guess that's it, yeah.
Making a Murderer.
You should know I've watched an episode and a half or two now.
It's on Netflix and then all of a sudden it explodes and everybody's talking about it. People at work are talking to me about it.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me think, well, what is it about this show that they want us to see and why is it so popular right now? Because you know serial killer stuff is always and the murder dramas are always popular. But why is this so popular right now? I mean, what is it trying to distract us from? Could be the Kuwait embassy pulled their ambassador to Iran out of Iran because the Saudis Kuwaitis is like Saudi's little brother.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis beheaded a cleric,
mm-hmm.
an Iranian cleric or a Shia cleric. Anyway, Iran and Saudi Arabia are long time enemies. Hundreds of years they've been enemies.
Yeah.
And it's coming to the point, can come to a head now with all the Syria stuff. Is it stuff about Syria? Is it the fact that, ISIS now has, missile, ground-to-air missiles, you know, is the fact that Iran just opened up a second silo and they have, they can launch a nuclear weapon now, which is in clear violation of the 2010 UN, you know, weapon stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fairly significant.
Is it to make people not really pay attention to the real story of what's going on in Oregon?
There are a lot of things I want to get into on this show. That Oregon one is one of them. Mm-hmm. But in light of, because I'm going to let you break that down here in a second.
Okay.
But, so have you heard about Obama's gun thing or whatever he's, I don't know what exactly he's done.
Well, he wants to take all our guns and burn down all of our churches.
Yeah.
And have everyone convert to Islam.
Well, not burn them down. He wants to convert them to mosques.
Yes,
I believe.
You know.
No. And again, I don't know the facts of what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if he plans to sign something into law, has signed something into law, or is just grandstanding because fuck it, he's out of here in a year.
But it's no, I know this now. It's the law that he's proposing. He's trying to push through Congress right now.
Is that okay?
It's the law that states that all our daughters have to date black guys.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
And
that's
why not support that? Like, what's the issue?
I fully support it.
Exactly.
You know, the white man is inferior in all ways to both the black and the Middle Eastern. So,
no. So okay. Anyways, but just from headlines, I've seen it's something that he's trying to do. Yeah, and here's where I piss off my liberal friends. Mm. I'm gonna simultaneously in the next couple
of
sentences.
You have those?
I'm going to simultaneously piss off my liberal friends and my hardcore conservative friends in the next couple sentences. Here we go, Matt. You ready for this?
I'm ready for it.
I don't think it's a bad idea to look at the way guns are handled in this country.
Yeah.
We have a lot of folks killing a lot of people, a lot of ordinary citizens grabbing guns and doing things they shouldn't with them in public places, schools, churches, whatever it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem. Globally, we have that a fair bit amount more than other developed nations do, right? Now, I've been very clear, and I'll be clear again, that I don't know what the answer to that is. Do I think it's taking all the guns? No. I think it probably lies more with mental health or the way we do things in the West or that sort of thing.
Not mental health, because then you can draw lines around, well, what is a mental illness and what is not. You
True.
Could say that, you know, you could say that extreme being a neocon or being you know, a libertarian is a mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, just don't say being transgender is a mental illness.
Yeah.
Because that,
God forbid,
that's not.
No.
You know, I'm a transgendered raccoonkin.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually a female raccoon. That's how I feel on the inside.
That's
Addison.
That's how you identify.
I identify as a female raccoon.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate if you would
respect that. And allow you to use a female restroom or a female dumpster in your case.
Yes.
Yeah. But
at work tonight, we have this group that comes in once a month, and they're a music group, Charlie Mann.
Okay.
And they do old 60s standards. 50s and 60s standards, okay? So, you know, Neil Sedaka, Frank Sinatra, that sort of thing. And
it's just what they do.
We have usually 40, 50 silver hairs come in.
Because it's the best time of their night, best time of their lives.
They usually get there about 5, and they all leave about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And because Matt locks on Trinity Broadcasting at 9.
Well, I was going to say, they got to catch reruns of Lawrence Welk before they hit the sack. Which is at 10:10 sharp.
Yeah. So the door for the men's bathroom is right across from the door for the kitchen.
Okay.
And the men's bathroom is on one side of the bar. The ladies is on the other.
Mm-hmm. As it should be.
So there's this old lady, probably in her 70s, tall, very tall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 5'11", 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that she's a woman, but very broad-shouldered, like, you know.
I think I'm getting my.
You smell what I'm stepping in.
Yeah.
So there's one of the servers there.
A rather stocky lady.
So she's
if you will, she's
opening the door to the men's bathroom, and one of the servers walks by. She's like, "Oh no, the ladies is on the other side." And you know, lady looks at the door, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she walks by. Server comes back into the kitchen, and I'm like, "You know, that was my transgendered grandmother, right? Like, that's she. If she wants to use that bathroom, she can."
Yeah.
And she
that's
got,
her business.
She got this look on her face. She absolutely believed me.
To the heart, yeah. From the heart.
Like 100%. And she's like, really?
Just bought and sold.
She's like, really? Oh my gosh, I feel so bad. And she like made a turn to go like
apologize.
And I'm like, no, stop. I'm joking with you. How could you actually believe that?
Right. Man, it's 2016. I mean,
nobody tell John Oliver because he still thinks it's 2015. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No. Okay. So back to Obama's gun thing. Yeah. I think that it is not a bad idea to maybe look at the way guns are handled in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, one of his talking points, which I had seen several places, it was actually tweeted from the White House and all this stuff. Like it's actually part of his statements about this
yeah.
thing. Well, again, whatever he wants to do, I do not know. I confess, I do not know. But one of his talking points was that basically verbatim, a felon can buy a gun off of the internet with no background check.
Mm-hmm.
That is simply not true.
Yeah.
Like at face value. That is simply not true.
Well,
the gun that
can
I
it be
bought.
Technically true? Can it be technically true? You buy a gun off Craigslist, right, or off the dark net,
and that's,
or whatever. So technically, it can be true. A felon can purchase a firearm off the internet with no background check, just not legally.
But okay, and that was the point that one of my friends made, and I was like, but that doesn't. But yeah, a felon could go kill a cop and take his gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there you go. If we're just looking at things that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap, that you know, leaves it open for everything. But just that talking point, like, and to me, that's fear-mongering, right?
Sure.
Going back to the fear thing, like saying to the American people, many of whom, I mean, we're into our guns, right, in America, but many of whom, if you're just not into it or never been around it or never been hunting.
Like, absolutely believe it.
Yeah, you just say at face value, hey, a felon can buy a gun off the internet without any background check, and they say, oh, that obviously must be stopped.
It's yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, no, well, it's also not true.
Yeah.
That's partially why it's unbelievable is because it's not true.
Yeah.
Any gun you buy off the internet, you know, they send it to a licensed dealer in your area who conducts a background check and then sells it to you. That's yeah. how it works, right?
And but you're dealing with a large segment of the population of the 300 and some odd people living mm-hmm. in this country, 300 million some odd people.
There's only 300 and some odd people?
300 million.
360, would you say?
Some odd million people.
370
living in this,
people?
370 million some odd people living in this country.
377 people
I would say
in this country?
I would say 300 million of them don't realize that when somebody in power, in a position of power, tells you
president.
Something
yeah.
in any almost any position of power
yeah.
tells you something, you should immediately believe the exact opposite. If your boss says
Matt, even Alex Jones,
if your boss says
be
to
serious.
Well, Alex Jones is well, maybe he's part of a power bureaucracy somewhere, but when your
he's
boss
a,
says
he's
to
a,
you,
he's a shaman.
Yeah, when your boss says to you, we're going to get you that raise next
yeah.
quarter.
Yeah,
lie. It's a lie.
Yeah.
when a politician says that they want to help rebuild America for the betterment of families, lie.
Yeah.
Lie.
Yeah.
When a cop tells you it's for your own safety, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
And my biggest
believe
issue with
the exact opposite.
My biggest issue with Trump's whole Make America Great Again.
are you implying that America isn't great
well,
right
exactly.
now?
Pardon me, Mr. Trump. I can still get 32-ounce sodas, so...
Yeah.
You know, I can still buy cigarettes and beer and mm-hmm. weed, depending on my state.
Yep.
So maybe the blinders are on his eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needs to be woken up to, hey, it's not that bad here, Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I get we have a bunch of Mexicans here that you don't like. I get that. Nobody likes Mexicans except Mexicans. And that's fine.
I like Mexicans.
Or except white folks who know that yeah. for $7 an hour, you're going to get a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
But
I like I love Mexicans, but I just like broad-shouldered women. So
well, there
general,
you go. Yeah, they are the stock. They are the most firmly built of all peoples.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of Mexicans at work. And as there are
yeah.
in food establishments, and they are the stockiest folk. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my other buddy who happens to be a Caucasian as well. We were talking about Mexicans, and he's like, you know, it's funny, dude. He's like, I'm beginning to think it's like some kind of Mexa magic. Like, I don't know what the deal is because whenever you look at them, they're not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like you see them and you're like, okay, you're just talking. You're not really, you're just hanging out. He yeah. calls it Telemundo.
You're Telemundoing.
He's like, they're just doing Telemundo. But then when you look away and you do your own thing for 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever it is, and you look back, you're like, oh, you cleaned up that whole area.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm beginning to think it's like some kind of spells that they're working behind my back. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's how they do. You never really think they're doing anything, but then you're like, oh, okay, well, we got that all cleaned up. Great. Mm-hmm. That's just true. Mexicans. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Facts.
It's just Mexicans, folks.
It's just Mexicans.
It's just Mexicans.
So
the conclusion of the gun thing.
Yeah.
What is it? What do you think? What's the solution then?
It's still a question for me. Yeah. As I've posed on the show before, I do not know what the answer is. And if I had to say, I would say, well, we're just Wild West maniacs, and there's a system that is in place. And if you want to take it to a next level of conspiracy or whatever, be my guest. But I think there's a system in place that for some reason, not willing to say what it is or and don't really have a guess, but for some reason breeds people intellectually, psychologically, that get to the point where they snap and take a gun in public and kill folks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it has to do.
I don't think there's an answer for that.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I think it has to do with perpetuation of violence in media.
Yeah,
you can be, as long as you don't show blood, you can be as violent as you want in PG mm-hmm. movies. As long as you don't show any boobies or any nudity, you can be as violent as you want.
Mm-hmm.
There is no limit on violence in a PG-13. What makes it, you know, unless you show a nipple or drop the C word and then it's an R.
Yeah.
You know,
cracker? Is
it? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's spelled CRCK. It's a four letter word. Mm. It doesn't make any sense.
CRACKA. Cracker.
That's five letters, though.
Cracker. Yeah, true.
Anyway, it has to do with the perpetuation of violence in our media, man. And I'm not saying that video games and television or movies are bad. They're not. They're great outlets for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that we have them around. I'm glad we live in an age where we can press a couple buttons and be endlessly entertained
mm-hmm.
within the realms of our own imagination and also somebody else's imagination. I mean, that's what movies and TV and video games and story is all about. You're inhabiting somebody else's imagination for a time.
Telling of a story.
And make it a part of yourself. But it's when it's all about that, when it's all about violence, all about sex, that's when it becomes porn. Like, gone to it before, probably on the show on a rant. The Purge movies,
mm-hmm.
the Saw movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's violence porn. It's violence porn. It's for getting off to violence. You may not be physically orgasming, but you are getting a certain part of your brain off. To people who like those movies, a certain part of their brain is getting off to violence in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous. And when you become a person that is so entrenched in violence, that is how you release serotonin in your brain to give you happiness. Eventually, you have to be violent.
Yeah.
Because those dopamine centers aren't, not serotonin, but dopamine, those dopamine centers in your brain aren't functioning. It's just like a drug addict.
Yeah.
You know, you in porn, if you're looking at porn, you go from vanilla to kink, mm-hmm. you know? You go from vanilla to Rule 34, Futentari. You know, it's...
I remember that discussion from last week. My God.
Yeah.
The insurance girl.
You know, yeah, exactly. And suddenly you need more and more of that thing to make, just like a drug, just like pornography, just like, you know, the rush you get from driving really fast.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that in a culture where guns are so widely available, and they are, and as I think they should be, because it's not the gun can't pull the trigger itself. A gun can't fire itself.
Yeah.
So it's not about what the gun is, or how available the gun is. It's about the psychological makeup of the person who's controlling the weapon.
Exactly.
What made them. Yeah.
That's the question we do not ask, is what made them.
So it's a problem in our society, not a problem with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the problem with say whatever problem you want.
Drunk driving isn't the cars or whatever it is.
Yeah, or the fact that we have a spending problem in our government, or the fact that the government is incredibly corrupt. It's not just a product of government itself. Yes, bureaucracies breed power.
Actually, the spending one is a good analogy, because you can make the argument that, oh, credit cards are too available to people.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, they are, but you can max it out or you can't.
Yeah. Yeah,
based on your wise decisions.
You can
choose
not to have one and live within your means from week to week, or you can have five of them.
Uh-huh, and blow it on everything.
Yeah, I saw this little factoid about this guy who had 1,400 different credit cards. It was like, yeah, this little article that somebody had written about, they interviewed this dude, and he had like over 1,400 credit cards.
There you go. Well.
Can you imagine getting 1,400 pieces of mail in the mail every week?
No.
Yeah. I mean, how many is that a day? That's several dozen pieces of credit card statements a day.
Yeah.
That you're getting.
1,400.
Shoot me in the head. My gosh. And leave my body for the crows to feast upon. Like, I'm done at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't think gun violence or any sort of violence is perpetuated by the means of that violence. It's all about the people who are doing that. And I don't think it's a mental...
And why and how they got there.
Yes. It's not a mental health issue. It's an issue of environment.
Mm-hmm.
What are they around every single day that we are so dysfunctional as a society and so dysfunctional as a people that we've completely normalized, and then they have access to it every single day and are drenching their minds in garbage to a point where they break and they have to pretend like they're the Dark Knight cleansing people in a hotel theater.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's the problem, not guns. But then, you have to it's been in slow decline from this, there was some big gangster movies in like the 1920s or 30s that had set the record for the most gunshots, right?
Up to that point. Yeah.
And it was 60 years before that was broken. I think it might have been like The Godfather who broke that record. But every movie up to then, you'd have one, two, three cowboy old westerns. You'd have several dozen gunshots,
mm-hmm.
some gunplay. But it wasn't stylized or glorified the way it is now. But so it's a slow decline from the 1920s up until now, And so is there a way to fix that? Can we get people to stop watching ultraviolet movies and stop playing ultraviolet video games? Absolutely not. We can't. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because those things sell. Call of Duty sells. Fallout sells.
Mm-hmm.
The Purge sells. Horror movies, Saw sells. Like movies about sex. Sell. We glorify violence and we glorify sexual trauma and we say that it's okay. We say that. It's dangerous territory because you risk offending people, but you say that, no, you're not gay because you were molested when you were a kid. You're gay because that's the way that you are. Well, maybe, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Are you transgendered because you really are a woman on the inside? Or is it because you've become so...
normalized into that
no,
life.
But so pushed out of what masculinity should be that you can no longer identify with that, and so the only identity you can take at that point then is the polar opposite, the feminine, and then so that you completely identify with that gender now because you feel so ostracized or so disillusioned and lost of what masculinity actually is, which is another discussion. Men are dying, and not just people with penises, but men are dying.
Those are dying too, though.
Yeah, we have huge problems with. I was reading a thread on Reddit today. We have huge problems with people with low testosterone. It's apparently by the time you're 35, your testosterone drops, and the averages of what was considered low testosterone 50 years ago to compared to today, a 70-year-old man has more testosterone coursing through his veins than a 15-year-old boy does.
These days.
These days.
Yeah.
what does that tell you? You know, yeah. And it goes back to the everything that we eat and consume is
processed, modified garbage.
Well, it's packaged in plastic.
Yeah.
Biphenyl A, I think, is the name of the compound and the chemical. The body, and it's almost in all plastics.
Now, how does that fit into the, what is it, the gay fish guts or what, shrimp?
Yeah.
Shrimp?
Yeah.
Bang another dude shrimp or what is it?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But
tune in to Alex Jones again.
Biphenyl A is, the body recognizes it as estrogen. Mm-hmm. So you eat a lot of foods wrapped in plastic and you drink out of plastic water bottles and your body's taking in this chemical, minuscule, yes, but still recognizing it as estrogen. Yeah. So
anyways, gave that some thought. Oregon, do you want to break that down for us? Like what's
we can,
I've seen headlines and such, like what's going on in Oregon, man?
So it starts in the 1860s. There's this family, and they
and also have, where in this Oregon mess does the Oregon Trail fall? Like, did they take the trail?
No,
trail.
Is
there a Trail of Tears?
No, that's, you're thinking different trail.
Okay,
Oregon Trail and Trail of Tears different.
Oh, okay, things. Two different trails.
Yes, two different trails.
Okay, but the Oregon Trail,
it's fine. No, okay. It's fine. No,
so
we,
it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, we still
nobody
know where
got dysentery.
It is. We no, yeah.
Okay, good. Dun, dun, dun. Great game.
No one got dysentery and died. Yeah, you're the first person to make that joke.
Fuck you. It's an awesome game. I'm not making the joke, dude. I'm being serious.
Larry Wilmore made that joke last night on his show.
Do you know how many hours I put in that game as a kid?
Yeah, well,
it was the only thing that was allowed.
I was channel surfing last night, and Larry Wilmore, like,
and like every time I did the duck hunting thing, I would be like, yeah, or I could play shooters, but my idiot mom won't let me.
I'm
guess I'll shoot these ducks like a faggot.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
faggot in the internet term. You're
using
by the way,
you're using the same jokes as like a fourth-rate Colbert replacement.
Okay,
so.
Geez, dude, I'm not making the joke though. You understand? I'm not. This isn't humor for me.
Okay,
Oregon Trail is no laughing matter.
Hmm.
Now, what's going on
in
Oregon?
You have dysentery, and you know, you can't laugh,
right? Because you die.
What's
going on in Oregon?
So
I've seen a bunch of
tweets.
There's
this land that has been in this family for 100 and some odd years.
Okay.
And they are incredibly, incredibly wealthy cattle barons, right?
Okay. And that's where the family fortune comes from?
Yes.
Just having cattle
loads
for
of
years
money.
And years? Okay.
A lot of cattle.
Makes sense. All right.
So.
I'm on board with you.
Started maybe 10, 15 years ago when the United States government tried to purchase this land to make a wildlife preserve from them.
And they said,
no, because this is our land. This has been our family for years. The government pushed them again.
Government being state government or federal?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
They just really wanted it.
Yeah. So the family says no, pushes back against it. And the government doesn't have eminent domain. They can't just seize the land. They have to, you know, it has to be sold, and they want to buy it. So what they do is they put a wildlife reserve right on the edge of their land. It's right kind of between...
As you do. Next best thing.
Where they run their cattle, basically.
Okay.
Because all these ranchers in this area have... That's why they have a branding system, right? So
right.
You know whose cows are who. Whose... Because you don't... You want to rotate your cattle around different fields and stuff. So they've been having to either run their cows through this federal land illegally or around it, which is fine. They're billionaires. If they need to move cattle an extra 20 miles to get the job done, who cares? You're billionaires. You're fucking billionaires.
Right.
20 miles, moving your cattle 20 extra miles should not be a sweat or anything that you put up with. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah, the government's doing it just because you won't
just
sell them your land.
You. Right.
But still... Not a big deal.
Okay.
You shouldn't be losing sleep over it at night or picking up your gun. So there's fault on either side. But what happens next is there's a wildfire that starts on the edge of these ranchers' land.
Okay.
Back 5 years or so ago. And they because of the nature of wildfires, they start a wildfire that's a downwind of it or something, so that the wildfire catches with that one and then progresses in a way away from their ranch.
Okay, well, I'm still on board.
It's complicated. It's weird. It doesn't abide by the laws of physics. But then you have to take into account weather patterns, the way the wind's blowing here, how it might change in 24 hours, and try to direct it. Basically, they were doing their best to get the fire away from their property, or so they say. The government says that they started that fire intentionally in order to burn through this preserve because the government had put the preserve there.
So the government took it as a giant screw you from these ranchers because they're like...
And the ranchers said it was a lightning strike.
Oh, got yourself a nice preserve.
Yeah, it was a lightning strike that hit the farm, and they took... Or they hit their ranch and their land, and they took measures to steer it away from their land, and it just happened to be the best other option was steering it towards its federal land. So... What's the most likely thing in that scenario? Well, probably a little bit of both. Probably they were like, well, screw this federal land. We'll just send it over there.
And probably a little bit of, hey, we don't want our land to burn down.
So, yeah, any option is a good option.
Right. Okay. Still on board.
So, tried and convicted for arson is the patriarch of the family. Goes to jail for the minimum sentence of 1 year.
So, this happened like 5 years ago.
2011.
Okay.
He gets out.
So he had gotten it trial by jury.
Or 2009.
Okay. Yeah. They decided
he goes
yes,
to jail for
this,
a little under a year.
Okay.
And gets out.
All right. So just due process then.
A year later, the federal government says no on federal charges for arson. So after he gets out, after serving a year, the government tries to buy his land again. And while he's in jail, the government's trying to buy his land and use the fact that he's in jail to get the land
from
him.
To sway the family, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yeah. Still doesn't work.
Still doesn't work. Still he comes out. Still won't. Just digs his heels in even more.
Yeah.
So the federal government comes along and says, "Well, no, the federal minimum for arson is 5 years. We're going to charge you federally." So they sent him to jail.
Is that true, though?
That's everything that I've read. That's what they've been saying. So the government.
That sounds odd to be charged both federally and locally for the same crime.
Know what I'm saying?
I'm just speaking from the gut here.
It's murky on either side.
Just doing the gut speaking.
And it's murky because we don't have the entire truth. I'm just regurgitating what I have heard. This is the best information, piecing through all these different things.
Yeah.
Because on Reddit, I've been following it kind of closely, but you have, I've read stuff on MSNBC, Fox.
Just the whole, the
Daily,
gamut.
Oregonian, all these different sources and whatnot. He goes back to jail for another 5 years, and now
the federal government says, "Okay, just sit a little longer."
Now, then he gets out and says, "We're not going to take it anymore."
And this is this year or now or whatever.
And says, "We're not going to take it anymore." And they seize the federal building they seize basically the wildlife preserves.
Like, little office or whatever.
Yeah, they're the game wardens or where the park rangers.
Yeah.
Do their business,
hang out, and have coffee.
They seized those buildings. So what amounts to a couple cabins? People saying it's a government compound that they seized. No, it's a bunch of freaking cabins in the middle of some forests.
Right, as those things typically are.
Yeah.
Less flashy than you'd like
and
to think.
I'm not sure if it's ended.
They have a couple brochures there and a couple maps. Yeah. That's it.
But immediately, as soon as people started hearing about this, they said, well, if these people were Middle Eastern or black, the cops would have stormed the compound, the park immediately and killed them all and wiped them all out. But because they're white, so it's become a white privilege issue. Immediately from the get-go,
it's so surprising, Matt. It's a white privilege issue. That's
exactly.
So surprising.
The first thing that popped up.
Wait, did you say it was a white privilege issue?
Yeah.
Wow, that is actually really surprising.
The first thing that popped up on social media, the first thing that people were talking about wasn't whether or not militias are a good idea, wasn't whether or not eminent domain and government seizures should be legal.
Or whether these folks have a legitimate beef.
Whether or not this guy went...
Legitimate beef, see cattle.
Yeah. Whether or not this guy went to jail twice for the same crime.
Right. And that's legal or not or whatever.
Yeah. It was immediately an argument over white privilege.
Folks. Yeah.
White privilege.
Which God, we're so narrow minded.
Yes.
It just
which I guess all these stupid people have forgotten Waco, because that's exactly what happened to Waco. It was a bunch of religious people who extreme, quote unquote, to a lot of people. Yeah, sure, but that's what they believed. So let them believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a bunch of guns there. Yeah, they had a bunch of kids there, and yeah, they had a bunch of wives there. Mm-hmm. And it probably wasn't on the up and up. David Koresh was probably doing it 17 times a day with anything that he wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the government...
What do you mean by wasn't on the up and up? That sounds great.
I know, right? I guess they forget that the government stormed the compound, killed everybody,
right,
and burnt it to the ground.
Yeah. And basically said, well, they were criminals.
And every person in that compound?
Yeah.
White. White. White, 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 white.
Yeah.
So no, the government doesn't care if you're black or white. What they care about is the power struggle. And right now you have a power struggle between wealthy people, this cattle baron and his family, and the government. And that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I also think that the reason why it's such a big deal right now is, number one, so we can all have the white privilege fucking argument again. Because we haven't had it enough in the past year and a half.
Well, I was going to say, it's been a good 6 weeks, Matt, since it's sort of...
I don't know. But number two, this and the way it's portrayed in all mainstream media, and this is the stuff, the actual facts that I've just presented, and
yeah,
this, to the best of my knowledge, this is the factual information of what's going on. I had to dig. I had to dig, dude. Like,
yeah,
dig like I haven't dug on anything in a while. Because it was everything was slanted against this family. It was all these people are burning down the wildlife preserves so that they can have a path for their cattle, and now their cattle are ruining the environment by all the waste and stuff that goes downstream. Well,
how
sure.
The fuck could cattle ruin the environment? Cattle are the environment.
No, they're not.
Jesus. And do you understand that what we had here hundreds of years ago were buffalo? Those are cattle.
But, yeah, but they weren't buffalo daily injected with hormones.
Yeah, but still.
And there weren't.
It's an animal,
there weren't,
dude.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of them in the same exact.
It's an animal, though.
In a few square miles, all of them pooping and creating all this mess.
Like, if the government was like, hey, we want to turn this into a wildlife reserve, and they said,
no, we're not going to sell it to you, but build an
amusement park instead, there's an argument.
Listen. You're being combative right now, and you should not be combative, okay? Just
okay,
on the combative nature, okay?
Just all right. Okay.
Tone that down.
All right.
Bison? It's not a good comparison, because animals naturally live in a symbiosis with their environment. Yes, you have some that rise up and some that fall down as far as food chain, and animals can be incredibly destructive to the environment. I mean, look at beavers, right? They do achieve a certain symbiosis with nature.
Yeah.
So bison roaming the plains, not a big deal,
mm-hmm,
okay? Because only half of them survive and their numbers stay low. But when you have a 99% birth rate among cattle, they're all reproducing, and you're giving them steroids, and you're putting all this terrible garbage feed to them that's then being pooped out by them, all these antibiotics, all these steroids, all this garbage corn being pooped out by them and just going right into water and into the soil. It's harmful for the environment. Industrial farming and agriculture, the meat side of it and the farming side of it, whatever, they're incredibly destructive to the environment. Incredibly destructive to the environment. Because in order to make a profit, you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something has to die, and it's the environment. When you have an industrial farm, it's almost always a terrible situation for anybody living near it, because it destroys your groundwater, it destroys the soil, it destroys the air. It's a bad thing. Cows make up more CO2 gases than anything else on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else. Cars, industrial waste, factories. More CO2 come from cows, because we want to have red meat every day, than it does from everything else.
But screw you, Matt. Steaks are good.
Right? But so
I like my steak burritos from Chipotle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So enter into this California senator, I forget his name. I want to say Lieberman, but I know that's not right. I can't remember his name for the life of me. I feel bad because I was just reading. Basically, his son-in-law owns a competing cattle farm in the same area, which is why the state of Oregon has been so gung-ho against a certain family, because they are trying. The state of Oregon is trying to is trying to knock out the competition for an incredibly powerful Harry Reid. I think it might have been Harry Reid. I think it might be Harry Reid. For an incredibly powerful senator's son-in-law to do better business and make more money.
Bullshit.
Not lying. Now, the second point I was going to make, besides just...
Society's a toilet, man.
Besides just trying to incite racial hatred between...
We got CO2 fart cows ruining the environment here.
Between black and white and whatever.
Yeah.
Besides that, I think it's a smear campaign of social media right now. And social media is run by the CIA. You're a fucking moron if you don't believe that. The stories you see every day...
Not 4chan, man.
Yeah, 4chan, absolutely. The stories you see every day on 4chan,
are you telling me that Facebook, Anon is on Twitter, CIA?
On, yeah.
Anon is the CIA.
Yeah. On Tumblr, on all these Instagram, whatever. All these main stories you see, even on Reddit and whatever, it's all produced by the state, man. It's all propaganda to make you believe exactly what they want to believe. So when something blows up on Twitter like this Oregon thing, almost always just assume that they're the powers that be, that your government has an agenda for pushing that story, and specifically the narrative of that story. I think we live in a police state, and what does a police state and the government fear more than armed citizens? Organized armed citizens with one goal
armed
in mind.
Armed citizens that have found their way to organize. Right.
Militias. They're afraid of militias.
Yeah.
Because militias can fight back. Mm-hmm. You have a well-armed militia of several hundred people with military training or even just military nerds, you may be able to take the LAPD or the New York Police Department and they could fight them off. Any other police department in this country would be obliterated just because of the way that the police are. They're not used to people fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to being bullies and being able to either intimidate somebody or always, they always have the upper hand when it comes to escalation
of
force.
The psychology of it. Yeah.
So a cop always has a gun. Not everybody has a gun. Cop always has a taser. Not everybody has a taser. Cop always has military training. Not everybody has military training. So the cop always has the upper hand in a fight or in a conflict of violence. But if you put them against people who are just as well trained as they are, they're not used to that. They're going to die. I think that it this whole Oregon thing, it's very clear to me. Maybe it's not clear to other people, but maybe it'll be clear now. Or just think about it. The United States government wants to discredit any and all militia that gains public or political or even just monetary support or grassroots support. They immediately want to discredit them so that there's never any chance that you have a militia or a movement of militias that gain traction and actually are able to serve some sort of function in the protection of the rights of American citizens and the upholding of the Constitution. Anyway, that's what this whole Oregon thing is about. I don't think it's about these. On the small scale, it's about
the competing farmer.
It's about an incredibly wealthy state, Oregon, and an incredibly wealthy farming family, right? Billionaires on both sides,
yeah,
fighting over what basically comes down to you done me wrong. No, you done me wrong. No, you should give me this. No, this has been mine for forever, and I want it.
Yeah.
No, you should. You
gosh,
you,
what does that sound?
You
like?
Should. You should.
Oh, that's right. The Middle East.
Yeah. You should just change a little bit how you do things to help everybody else out.
Yeah.
Right. Move your cows 20 miles so they don't fart in the wildlife preserve.
Right.
No, we don't want to.
Yeah.
We just don't want to.
Let our cows fart where they
please. It'll cost a couple extra $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, you have billions of dollars, but it's my money. You have...
if someone out there could take this segment and animate it, by the way, that'd be just great.
I think you have spoiled brats on both sides of this argument fighting over...
Well, the government's not the spoiled brat, man. They have society's best interest at heart.
Right.
Okay.
You have spoiled brats.
Okay.
You have spoiled brats on both sides fighting over something that is a non-issue to everybody, and the only people who lose, it's not these billionaire cattle barons.
Society as a whole.
It's not the millionaire politicians in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who live downstream from the cattle, or the people who are in that area. Those are the people that lose. It's the modern American people. It's the average American that loses. But no, it's totally about being able to discredit and immediately associate any militia or any militia group, and immediately be able to associate them with these Bundy characters.
Crazy nutbags. Yeah.
Had this conversation with my boss maybe a month or so ago. I said, because we were talking about militias, and I said the biggest threat to any militia isn't what that militia believes.
Yeah.
Isn't their purpose and their statement.
Whatever it might be.
It isn't how the government reacts to them.
Whatever flag they would tend to fly.
It is the first narrative the media spins about them. That is the most important. You can't... In the age we live in, you can't really have a militia because every sin of the individual in that militia will be exposed and will be extrapolated onto the whole. And it'll be an immediate smear campaign by the United States government to discredit anybody that could challenge them. And that's what this is about. It's about setting a precedent that all militias are bad all the time, and that all organized armed citizenry is
for
bad all the time.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Oregon.
Guns bad. Okay. Mm,
but you know, they got free weed, so hey.
Mm.
I mean, I'd take a bullet from a crazy pissed off rancher in order to get some free weed. No, I wouldn't. I would dodge a bullet from a crazy pissed off rancher in order to get free weed.
How's the weed game been, man? I know you were dry for a while.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, all good. All right.
No, actually, if you gave me the option, free weed for life.
Yeah.
Every time you open up your sack, it's as full as it was the day before.
Right.
Every time you open up your bag of weed, it's as full as it was, like you didn't smoke any out of it the day before.
Your bag of holding.
It stays with the same amount of weed. No matter how much weed you pull in, there's still a quarter ounce in there.
Yeah.
You give me that magic plastic bag,
mm-hmm.
I would let you shoot me in the leg. I would let you shoot me in any extremity except for the head.
So, even the dick?
No, my dick is not an extremity. What are you talking about?
It's practically inverted at this point.
It goes up inside me when I sit down.
Bad. Okay.
No, anywhere below the thigh or the shoulder.
Yeah.
You could shoot me.
Wow.
I'd take a bullet for unlimited weed.
Wow. Here's a question I'm going to pose to you. I believe this was a Reddit question.
Yeah.
So maybe you've already...
I could survive a bullet wound. I don't know if I could survive not having weed.
Well, you got to weigh your options there.
You do. Prioritize.
Yeah.
It's part of becoming an adult, Addison.
It is. Yep. Growing up with Matt and Addison. Okay. You can remove... Here's a question for you.
Okay.
It's sort of a marry one, kill one, screw one type thing. That's essentially what
marry
it is.
Marry, boss, kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can remove one person from mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so politicians, actors, actresses, pop culture.
This is on Reddit. I saw this, but go ahead.
Yeah, but you have to sleep with them.
Okay.
To remove
them. Just sleep in the bed, like just cuddle with them?
No, you have to, you have to do things with them.
In the biblical sense.
In the biblical sense. You have to know them, as the King James says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you choose, Matt?
I think the scripture would read, and lo, the prophet Matthew went in, and he lay down with...
What would it be, man?
And he lied down with Nancy Grace.
Wow.
And
thus
did he know her.
Good choice, though.
And
I can respect that.
And lo, she conceived and bore to him a son, and that son was name was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
No, Nancy Grace is a hard one. Like, I mean, she's a blabbermouth loudpiece, but, you know, she doesn't do as much, that much harm.
Mm-hmm.
Any public figure or anybody in general?
In mainstream media.
Anybody in mainstream media. So this could be some, this could be the owner
yep.
of media.
Yep.
Okay.
Just anybody that has that spotlight. I've got two good ones that I think you're possibly overlooking, but I'll get to those after we get your answer.
I think I got to go with Kim K.
There you go. Okay, that was the one.
Because number one, it'd be fun.
Bootiful, yeah.
Because,
argue with that.
She's not terribly attractive. Yes, she's probably possessed by a million demons and could call down satanic fire on me with the snap of her fingers.
But think of this, Matt. You might get to rub shoulders with Kanye.
I would get...
And you could ask him, like, why Yeezus is such a piece of shit when his early work is good.
Well, he'd probably be in the room watching.
Probably so.
Yeah.
In this fictional scenario where you sleep with Kim K to eliminate her entirely, yes, that's probably... In that scenario, yeah, Kanye's probably in the room. He's probably in the corner of the room just with an 808 pad. Just...
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, God, it's late. I'm okay. I'm okay. Everybody's okay.
I don't think I sleep with Kim Kardashian. I think it's
if you say the other person I had in mind.
I think it's what's her name? What's the mom's name?
Oh,
Kris Jenner.
Oh,
I think if you
so the whole family there.
Yeah,
you go.
Exactly. You there, get rid of all
just,
of them.
Did you take the one hit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a tougher sell than Kim, though. Jeez, at least in terms of the eyes, my God.
Also, now
I mean, it's easy. All I'm saying is it's easy to see why Bruce wants to be a chick.
Well,
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not, but
well, you know,
kind of makes sense when you look at Chris.
Some women tend to butch up in old age, but she did an exceptional job of it.
Yeah, an acceptable job of butching.
You could call her a butcher.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to, not to her face. She'd probably rip your face off,
right?
Like alien style, just like eat you in the street. And then Chris would come over, or then Bruce would come, or I'm sorry, Caitlin. I'm sorry, Bruce. Stunning and Brave would run you over with a car. She'd just run you over with a car.
Stunning and Brave.
That's what she's called. Just
Stunning and Brave. That for now, forever on this show.
Because you have some people who, if you call them Bruce, they're offended. You have some people who call her Caitlin, they're offended. So
right.
What do you
stunning
call her?
Stunning and Brave.
What, you call her Stunning and Brave.
Stunning and Brave.
I'm gonna think of one more person. Can I go back in time?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's just
Walt
open
Disney.
It up. Oh wow,
Walt Disney.
That means you gotta. You know what that means, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, number one, he'd enjoy it because he was into that sort of thing.
You think so?
Walt Disney was gay. Absolutely. That's not even like a debated fact.
Really?
No, that's
I did
fact.
Not know that. But okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Was this in the recent Tom Hanks biopic?
Probably not. I doubt it. But
Tom Hanks wasn't like, "Hey, Winnie the Pooh's a good idea, and also dicks."
Yeah. But look, if you get away from
The Jungle Book, when he was still alive, The Jungle Book is the best Disney movie.
Well,
period.
Disney
period
movie,
ever. The Jungle Book is the best.
Disney one. Movies were better when he was doing them, sure. But
I want to be like you.
But we had the princess programming that came out of Walt Disney, and that's kind of what he that with MK Ultra and a lot of the CIA stuff. Big,
and then the Beatles
into
those fucking vulture beetle. They're made to look like the Beatles.
Big into selling a story arc and a story arc that stays the same through almost every Disney movie. Every Disney princess movie has the same story arc.
Mm-hmm.
It's that men are unreliable. You have to save yourself. Your parents will always fail you, and rebellion against your parents is the best thing for you. Sexual liberation, rebellion, and that you don't need no man.
See, I have some
which. Hold, let me finish this thought. First off, you don't need no man. If you're a woman, you technically don't need no man.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of the sexes isn't that we're fighting each other. It's that we're living in a symbiotic relationship in order to better our species and our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a...
How does that work for Stunning and Brave?
Right. When you have a programming that has the princess programming, as some people have called it,
mm-hmm.
that says rebel against your parents, break the familial unit, start your own story away from any sort of familial unit, and that men cannot be trusted, basically.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. You can disagree with me or agree with me or whatever, but yeah, Walt Disney I think had a big influence in. I mean, look, Walt Disney exploded in the 1950s, and then you have sexual liberation of the 60s. It's not an accident.
Not that far fetched. Yeah.
But the families are the core of society. This is the familial unit, mm-hmm. right? Hey, and I'm a progressive person. Two daddies, cool. Two right. mommies, cool. As long as you have two people who are committed to each other, not giving up, and not going to leave each other, and committed to raising responsible, respectful people, and those children grow up to understand that their parents sacrificed and did things they necessarily didn't want to do in order to help them become mature adults.
Who can be
productive members of society. That's incredibly valuable to a culture. Families are the most valuable thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two people creating life together, having children, and making them into good people, that's the best thing a society can do.
Yeah.
So when you have that broken by our media that says, you know, that, you know, you can't trust relationships and that what your parents want you to do is always wrong. And think about that. What Disney movie have you ever seen
mm-hmm.
where the parents were alive, or if they were alive,
mm-hmm.
weren't actively fighting against the main protagonist, the main character, right? And the parents are always in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, they see it from the protagonist angle, and oh, then the relationship is healed. Stuff doesn't happen in real life, right? Your parents hold grudges against you because you didn't go to the college they wanted you to go for 20 years, right?
So, right.
I don't know. So yes, Walt Disney. I would fuck Walt Disney in order to erase Disney Co. Think about it. You get rid of
the new Star Wars movies.
You get rid of Disney.
You get rid of so many great things.
You get rid of Disney. You get rid of Pixar.
See, easy on Pixar though, man.
Yeah, but you get rid of
Finding Nemo.
You don't have Apple the way we have it now because Steve Jobs doesn't come back to Apple after success at Pixar.
Yeah.
In order to make Apple into the product it is now, you don't have smartphones in the same way that you have them now. Let's see, you don't have ABC Family.
Okay. Now I'm kind of wishing you could go back in time and f*** them.
You don't have the Disney Channel. You don't have the
You're describing utopia.
The satanic pedophilic cults that surround Hollywood and prey upon young children. The Disney Channel.
Still have that. Let's be serious.
You have it, but you don't have it as much.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Walt Disney was a bad person, and I don't think that he wanted to do bad things, but
he was just a tool.
He created incredibly powerful. He was an incredibly powerful magician who was stupid because he let his spells be used by the powers that be and the government. Story is nothing more than spells. Myth is spells. He let his stories become used by the government in order to control people and in order to corrupt society. But you know that's enough conspiracy soapboxing for this afternoon.
I've heard some folks say that it's.
When I'm tired of my own conspiracy soapboxing, that's when you know we've had enough.
Yeah, I've heard some folks say that it's the I Love Lucy program. You ever heard that one?
Uh-uh.
That's single-handedly, essentially, is as a result of the downfall of American society.
You think?
Because the way that she was constantly questioning her husband, and that was on television. Wildly popular show.
Yeah.
And that was one that was in homes. That was one that everybody was watching, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't one that just the mommies and daddies were watching or whatever. That was the show that the whole family watched for years and years and years. People love that show, Matt. Like, there's DVDs of that shit in my house. That's how popular I Love Lucy
but
is.
But in defense of Lucy, and I think I Love Lucy is the greatest sitcom of all time, and there will never be a greater sitcom than I Love Lucy. No, it's the greatest sitcom.
So you're not counting The Office then? Or you don't think The Office
is? No, I'm counting every sitcom ever.
But is The Office a sitcom under that?
Yeah.
Then this
television comedy, the greatest television comedy of all time.
Nope.
And will never be better than that.
The Office.
No, it's I Love Lucy.
You're a terrible person. You realize that you're a scourge on this earth.
When did Lucy's plots ever succeed?
Never.
Who was always right in the end?
Desi.
Exactly. I don't know. That kind of flies in the face of the logic. Like,
yeah.
Like you know, by the end of the episode.
But see, maybe there's the mind games though, because even though she constantly questioned her husband and went against him regardless, and whatever his money or situations or whatever. Hey, things all worked out for her in the end.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. Maybe. But, there you know, you in the episodes followed a pretty strict formula. Lucy's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
Door slams.
Yeah.
Ricky, we got to do this, blah, 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 blah. Lucy, that's no good.
That's not a good idea.
Fred and Ethel come in. Fred says, grumpy, so I'm grumpy. Ethel's like, Fred, you got to be. And then Ricky and Fred leave, and then Lucy and Ethel plant.
Do it anyways.
Plot their scheme.
Yeah.
And then, or they had several episodes where Ricky and Fred plotted their schemes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of scheming. I Love Lucy.
Early comedies, lots of scheming.
Lots of scheming.
Scheming all over the place. Even in a lot of comedies today, lots of scheming.
I can't believe you would say that it's better than The Office. I hate you so. No, it is not. It is not. You haven't watched that show enough then.
The Office?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode multiple times. I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode of the I Love Lucy show. And I have to tell you, one is better than the other.
Yeah, and it's The Office.
One created television comedy, like the what we have, television comedy the way we have it today.
Okay, so it's more history for you than
it's not just
factually better. I mean, I can accept that.
At a time when television comedy was just
becoming something. Yeah.
I Love Lucy did it better than anybody, and they perfected it, and it hasn't.
See, now I understand where you're coming from.
In my mind, I don't think it's been challenged for comedic effect. Like some of the plots and some of the schemes and some of the things.
Here's one I'll put up against it. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No,
really?
Not even close. In some of the plots and some of the schemes and stuff, like those, they set precedents and archetypes and motifs for the plotting and the scheming and the situational comedies that followed after,
mm-hmm.
right?
I get where you're coming from.
Look at like The Honeymooners, right? It was.
I never saw it.
Okay, so that was one of the first situational comedies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of the joke was just two people who didn't get along. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Dick Van Dyke Show, or two people who
I love the Dick Van Dyke Show.
The Honeymooners were two people who didn't get along, but were still married, and so they had to be married. And they didn't get along; they hated each other. The Dick Van Dyke Show was about two people who were madly in love with each other, but got a little annoyed from time to time. I Love Lucy was about two people who loved each other. Had friends and their own things and their own things going on in their lives, but were so flawed
mm-hmm.
and so prone to not thinking things through and doing their own thing and not being aware of what the other person
across
needs
the board. Yeah.
That hijinks ensue. And I think at that point in television, I think that it was a real look at not the hijinks that ensue from the show itself. Not the comedy itself, but the relationship between Lucy and Ricky. These are two people who like each other, who love each other, but they're so different and they approach problems so differently that it causes a lot of problems for them.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, that's the whole chemistry of Lucy and Ricky. It was they both approach problems from two different angles and it causes problems within their lines of communication. And I think it's the truest, earliest and truest form of relationships in modern American comedy. I don't know.
I get it. I get, like I said, with the explanation, I get where you're coming from. But anyways, Shoot, where are we? Wow, that was a wild one. You've been doing a lot of talking this episode.
I have. I'm sorry.
Well, perhaps we can wrap it up or just towards the end here.
Bernie Sanders. We're not done yet. Oh, I still got talking to do, bud.
Damn it, Matt. Well, I've got shit too. Okay, let's do game time, and then we'll move on.
Okay, all right.
Back for another round of everyone's favorite segment, Fox News versus InfoWars.
Dun 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 dun. Fox News versus InfoWars.
Fox News versus InfoWars, in which I present a headline and Matt has to guess whether it came from FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com.
The great thing I love about this game, everybody loses. There are no winners.
The consumer, Fox News, InfoWars,
you, the me, comparison, the listener, we all lose. It's great.
Everybody. Matt, I present a headline and Matt has to guess, Fox News or InfoWars.com. All right, here's the headline for your consideration, Matthew.
Okay.
Trump, I will veto Obama actions on guns. That's the headline. FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com. Matt, go.
Fox News.
That's InfoWars.com.
Really? I was thinking because, yeah.
Out of the gates, he's lost one, folks.
Wow. I was thinking definitely because it seemed a little bit more pro-Trump.
A monumental first. Every time we've played this, you've got the first one right.
Yeah.
The one other time.
The one other time we played this. Okay. All right. I'm 0-1.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
The next one.
All right. Now, here's the next one. Here's the headline. 12 ways to live like a Navy SEAL in 2016.
InfoWars.
FoxNews.com.
What?
That's the second one.
Oh, man.
He has lost the second one. Oh, man. Now, see, I shook it up because now that's obviously, that's an editorial. That's opinion on Fox News. But still, it counts because it's from FoxNews.com, right?
Yeah,
the judge's rules.
Sure.
All right, so Matt's lost two now. Not going well
now,
for Matthew.
Now, I will remind
here.
The listener that Fox last News time I won 3-2.
Yes, you did.
Out of 5, I got 3, and you stumped me twice. So.
Yeah.
That's the way this game is played. It's basically you versus me. So
essentially, I'm trying to stump you.
I have to have a clean sweep from here on out
because I pick them
in order to win this thing.
Yeah. Here's another headline, man.
All right.
Billboard advertising dating website for white people turns heads. That's the headline, Matt. Does it come from FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com?
Well, firstly, of course it turns heads because everybody wants to date white people.
Matt, we don't want your editorializing here. please focus on the game.
We
thank you.
White
the judges insist.
White people are the most beautiful of the peoples.
Oh, well, I don't know.
We're hotter than everybody else because our skin is paler.
Okay. All right. FoxNews.com or InfoWars, Matt.
Okay, once more.
Billboard advertising dating website for white people turns heads. FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com, Matt? Go.
Well, it's a black versus white issue.
Or a people versus white, depending on...
Billboard for white people dating turns heads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's almost a shot in the dark, but because the and this game is hard.
It is, to the listener, and I love it.
Don't think this game is easy. It's hard.
Well, hopefully they're playing along in their homes and their cars.
Because
as we serenade their ears with our ridiculous ideas.
Both of these websites are so terrible and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
that's
and,
the point of the game.
And fear-mongering.
Yeah.
You can't tell them apart.
Nope. And that's the point here.
One more time, read it for me.
Excuse me. Billboard advertising dating website for white people turns heads. FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com. Matt, go.
Fox News.
There you go.
Yes.
You've got yourself a victor.
All right.
So it's two he's lost and he's gained one.
All right. Well, I'm 1-2 right now.
All right. Here's another headline. Ladies and gentlemen, for your perusal. Putin signs document declaring NATO a, quote, threat to the national security, unquote, of Russia. FoxNews.com or InfoWars.com, Matthew.
Let's see. You did an InfoWars and the Fox News and then a Fox News on me. Mm-hmm. So I could go back to the InfoWars, but mm-hmm. I think you're going to keep
these,
it on.
These were selected randomly.
I think that's... Once again, it could be either or.
Putin signs document declaring NATO a, quote, threat to the national security, unquote, of Russia.
I think that's an InfoWars.
It is an InfoWars.
Yes!
You're tied up. Matt has tied it up.
Triumph.
To head into the victory lap, hopefully, for him. See, I've got two more headlines here. Let me... I think one is obvious. I don't know. They're both pretty.
don't throw me no cheese balls. I mean, throw me a hard one.
Throw you a hard hitter. All right.
You know, make me work for it now.
Okay. Here's the headline. Video. Trump purportedly appears in Al-Shabaab recruitment video. Foxnews.com or Infowars.com. Matthew.
That's another InfoWars.
That was Fox, man. That was Fox.
I almost
a crushing it. Defeat. So now in the history of FoxNews.com versus InfoWars, you're 1-1.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's crazy.
I almost had I was down two questions and I came back two strong questions, but
you came roaring to the finish line only to fall short at the very end.
See, it seems to paint in my mind, you reading that to me, it paints Trump in a negative light, so I'm thinking InfoWars because Fox News is all over his. No, Fox News is all over his scrotum. They're all.
Yeah, but does it paint him in a? I mean, just appears in a recruitment video. Like, who knows? Maybe they're trying to paint him in a good light because he's in. Who knows what the video says about? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Maybe it was just the fact that like they taped over like an old like Trump video for yeah. like his hotels or golf courses.
Yeah, and it was just the very end,
like an old VHS from like the 1980s. It was like promotional VHS for his golf course.
So they're like beheading somebody, and then
well, no. It's the video starts off as like. I'm Donald Trump. And then...
And then a butter knife. Yeah,
exactly.
As they behead some journalists, you know, which is hilarious, of course. Mm-hmm, sure. Folks getting beheaded.
It's not funny.
His kappa was detached from his head, Toby. And you say it's not the best show. I don't know who you are right now.
Vitamina Vegemin, bro.
Bullshit.
Vitamina.
I've seen that episode. Sleeper episodes of The Office are better than the best episodes of I Love Lucy, and that is a scientific fact, good sir.
Okay, well.
I say good day, sir.
Well.
The Dundies, Matt.
You have rose-colored lenses. I'm trying to be objective here.
No, you're not. Yeah, because objectively, The Office is a better show.
Your objection, yeah. That's your objection.
Sustained.
Well, we could save the Bernie Sanders stuff for next week.
No, I want to get into it.
But I'm
going to get into
real
it
real quick because
yeah.
I got more Fallout to play. We've put in our hour plus already.
And yeah.
It's almost 3 in
we
the morning.
We really should do like like an extravaganza. We should do like a 5-hour episode and then try and charge for it.
Episode 100.
Oh, there you go. Maybe we'll do a marathon. Like, you remember in high school, or maybe not for you, but like... For me in high school, like...
Jerry Lewis Telethon?
There you go. Like, raise money. We'll do it live. We'll just do it on Periscope. That'll be episode 100. No, but in high school, like, it was the bee's knees. Like, it was the thing we did was to get, like, a bunch of Mountain Dew and just, like, drink it. Whatever we were doing, like, it was just a bunch of Mountain Dew. Yeah. I just remember it always being a bunch of Mountain Dew. At church, friends' houses, LAN parties, bring our computers together and hook them up and play a video game against each other. It's all just a bunch of Mountain Dew.
Back when sugar could still get you high.
Yeah, exactly. I miss those days, Matt. I do. But anyways, what I was trying to say was maybe we should just do that. Just do like a high school style. Just, you know, we'll get some energy drinks and we'll just go as long as we can.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
We'll just go as long as we can until we peter out in the end for episode 100.
Maybe. So, Bernie Sanders.
Are you feeling the burn, Matt?
I think the entire nation is going to feel the burn pretty quick. Have you been following what he's been talking about the banks?
Yeah, because I fucking read that shit.
Listen, so...
Pardon my language, but...
Bernie Sanders this week is propose a plan for...
Of course, because it was on our all. It was like
breaking up the banks.
Yeah.
When he goes into office, he wants a plan to break up all large banks within the first year.
Okay. And his bunch of smaller reasoning banks. Or rationale or what is...
Is that too big to fail is too big to be around. If you're too big to fail, then... You're not serving the greater good of the people.
Right.
Okay. So...
Which what? Makes sense? Or what's... Like, breaks it down for me.
Well, yeah. It does kind of make sense on the surface that...
My God, that's a good idea.
A bank that is so large that a bank that controls such a large portion of our economy and our debt, that if they fail or if they go belly under,
whole countries go under.
Bring, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be around. Okay, banks shouldn't have that much power. Never mind.
I think I tend to agree.
Never mind that Bernie Sanders voted against and undercut everything that Ron Paul ever tried to do to handicap or get rid of the Fed. Never mind that. And the Fed being the largest bank, one of the largest banks in the world.
In the world, yeah.
The Fed being the reason why we have so many problems with banks in this country. So, interesting. FDIC insurance. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you have...
FDIC insured. I hear that on a lot of commercials. Yeah. Not sure what it means, but I do hear it.
The government insuring... the people against the bank's loss. So if a bank fails, mm-hmm. the people still get their money.
You don't lose your house.
You don't lose the money that was in the bank. The government insures that money, basically. It's the Federal Reserve insuring every other smaller bank, that if the smaller banks fail, they will pick up the slack. Okay?
It's bananas, but go ahead.
Here's the thing. The banks have been... They know after 2008 and everything that's going on, they're going to be broken up eventually, and it's going to happen. It's our next Democratic president, and it'll either be, in my mind, it's either Jeb Bush or Bernie Sanders. There's no way Hillary can win. Trump can put up a hell of a fight, and he could probably beat Jeb in the primary, and win the nomination. But can he beat Sanders? No. You put Sanders on a national stage and let him talk, and he will make Trump look like a fool.
As if Trump needs help doing that.
Yeah, he doesn't, but, you know.
he seems to be doing a fine job of it himself.
Most of the country are fools, so, you know, there's that.
yeah.
There's that old hat.
That's the ticket.
There's that old chestnut. So with the whole FDIC insurance, and these banks have been seeing this coming down the road, they know they're going to be broken up, and they know it's going to happen.
Let me guess, they're not thrilled.
Well, no, they're actually perfectly fine with it, because what they've been doing, slowly but surely, is transferring public debt, the debt of average taxpayers, transferring that to smaller banks that they control, and transferring that debt to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has been buying it back from them. Public debt.
By public debt, you mean I get a car loan for 13 grand.
Yeah. Your debt,
I get
my
a boat
debt,
loan
things
for
like
10
that.
Grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The debt that can default, but the debt that would be the most hit the hardest if these banks get broken up. Basically, here's what happens. Banks get broken up. And due to a loophole in FDIC laws, they are allowed to transfer their high-risk debt, our debt,
yeah.
Okay, not multinational companies' debt, not other banks'
right,
debt.
Right, because I'm high risk.
Yes.
I could die and never pay it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But a bank, a multinational company, a smaller bank, or even a larger bank, or an insurance group, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Not high risk.
They're not high risk. They're low risk.
Yeah.
They are able to take all this high risk debt and transfer it to the Federal Reserve. Then when they're broken up, they no longer control our debt. The Federal Reserve, the largest bank in the world, controls our debt, the debt of you and I. The federal government owns our debt.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk away with the low risk debt, all these banks. It's the best thing for the banks. Breaking up banks is the best thing for the banks. Leaving them too big to fail is the best thing for the banks. The banking industry, usury, and the type of people that go along with it have strategically placed themselves right now in the 21st century, in 2016, so that no matter what we do as a people, as a government, No matter what politicians we elect, no matter what happens,
they'll be just fine.
They will be just fine. They will still make money, and there's no way around it. So this whole breaking up the banks plan.
Well, that, on that dour note.
Hold on. Let me finish. This whole breaking up the banks plan that Bernie Sanders is pushing forward now, and now that he's for I think the month of December, he pulled in $30 million for the month of December. He pulled in $1 million
just
a day.
Private folks.
Yep. Average people. His organization and his candidacy is gaining an incredible amount of momentum and pulling more people to him every day. And now that this thing with him breaking up the banks is on all the media, right? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Now it's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Reddit, it's MSNBC, it's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it when you talk about Bernie Sanders. This is and the race in general. This is what people have been talking about for the past 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make him in the next week incredibly endearing. Watch the amount of Facebook posts. Watch the amount of tweets of pro Bernie Sanders. They're going to go up. They're going to go up by at least 20% in the next week. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
This is going to endear him to the American people, but none of them are going to look deeper. Luckily, I got into a conversation on Reddit today with somebody who was looking deeper and explained to several other people why this was a bad thing and why that no matter what happens, no matter what Bernie Sanders does when he gets in office, the banks are still going to win. They're still going to walk away stronger than they were before. Basically, this is nothing more than a PR stunt by Bernie Sanders to make himself look better, make himself look like he's going to actually do something when he gets into office.
There's a word for it's called a campaign.
Yeah, and he's not. This is the final nail in the Sanders coffin for me. He is nothing more than a shill. He is a lifetime politician. He's bought and sold. He is a part of the Zionist movement that has pervaded our government and the world. He is totally on the side of the usurists, the users, those who practice usury. He is not the Messiah that we think he is, just like Obama wasn't the Messiah we thought he was, just like Clinton wasn't the Messiah, just like Reagan was not a Messiah, just like JFK was not a Messiah. There is no hope for American politics.
I tend to agree. Unfortunately, I tend to agree.
I mean, there's always my plan.
No, we can't get an episode in Edgewise without you philandering this stupid thing.
From now on, I'm not gonna say what it is. I'm just gonna call it the plan.
The plan, right?
My plan to make America great again.
Right. It's like, well, we can go to the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw you. It's the worst idea. I hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
It's not my best one, but I don't see any other way out.
Yeah.
Because every politician
see
is
I don't
is
either,
just,
unfortunately.
It's just a different side of the same coin.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just a different facet of it. And so, yeah. Bernie Sanders is not the Messiah you think he is, people. It will betray you. He will betray all of us if he is elected. So will Trump. So will Hillary. So will Jeb. So what do you do?
Move to Canada, everybody out there in Sanders land.
No, you batten down the hatches and you forget about all the stupid power struggles that are happening way above your head, and you push forward and you do your bit and you love the people around you and you minister to people and give them hope.
Make sure that those within your sphere of influence are being influenced
for love, positive. For love and not for fear.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And raise your damn kids right, people.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. I have a kid. I'm trying to raise him right. It's not that hard. I see that is one thing about the public-facing aspect of my job, Matt. Like, I am truly, as I look you in the eye, I'm blown away by what, you know, kids 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 are these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is unreal what they are. And I mean, I can't even put into words how much I feel as if there's no hope going forward.
Yeah. Well,
although I've got two of my own, well, one on the way and one here, and I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure that they're good folks.
Yeah.
which is all I can do.
Teach your children to be bigots, not against any gender or orientation or race or nationality or color or creed or religion. None of those things. They shouldn't be bigoted against any of those things. They should be bigoted against class two people. So you got your class ones.
Okay.
People who are every day trying to do the right thing.
Okay, that's class one.
Okay. Trying to help other people to do the right thing.
Regardless of race, creed, color, sex,
trying to take care of their orientation. Trying to take care of their bit and trying to do their best.
Yeah.
Then you have class two, who are just in it for themselves and to take advantage of everything else and blame all their problems on other people. So the class ones and the class twos, and you know, class twos aren't they're not equal. They're not equal to the rest of us. I'm sorry, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. The welfare queen who doesn't work and who posts selfies on Facebook and Twitter all day is a worse type of person and deserves less in life than the person who goes out, raises their children right, works a job, fulfills their obligations to society, and then moves past those to help other people to do the same. There are two different types of people. One deserves more than the other. Plain and simple. One is a better person than the other person. Sorry, but that's how it is. And it has nothing to do with race or anything like that. It simply has to do
with who you are.
The kind of person that...
With what's on the inside. Remember all the kids' books? Like, it's what's on the inside that counts.
Yeah.
Right? The ugly duckling, things of that nature, the emperor's new clothes, those types of things where it's like, well, it's what's on the inside that counts. It's what's on the inside that counts. Now that doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
Like now it's whatever you want to be is important, and whatever you want to say is important, and you are who you are. It's like, no, it's what's on the inside that counts. It's what folks are doing when no one else is watching that counts, that makes you who you are.
And
integrity, it doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist.
Character.
It does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Well, like, because we've bought into the lie of building up a facade around ourselves. We can become whoever we want to be, so we don't have to... Yeah.
Like a manager, you know... at work and stuff, and it's like you know, kids will, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't want them to see that I'm on my cell phone, right? And it's like, it's not that I didn't see that you were on your cell phone and or doing whatever it was. The cell phone is the one that came to my mind, but doing whatever it was that you didn't want me to see, stealing something, for example, you know, it's not that I saw it that's the problem. You realize that, right? It's that it happened. Because the integrity of doing the right thing, in this case, not stealing or not being on your cell phone or whatever it is the important thing to do, right? It has, nothing to do with whether I've seen it or not that makes it a bad or good thing. And that's an unbelievable concept to people these days. Like, I'm 27, Matt. I didn't think I would start saying this until I was 40. I really didn't. I thought I would be blissfully happy the fortitude to not get hungover and have a massive sex drive until I was 40, and all these things, except the sex drive, are crumbling down around me. Yeah. And I look around and I'm like, no, they were all right. It's all gone. It's just the world is crumbling about me. And my wife consistently every couple of weeks asks me, you know, why do you hate everything? Why do you hate everybody? And I'm like, I don't. I love Matt. I love you. I love my son. That's what I tell her every time. I love Matt. I love you. I love my son. That's it. And until someone gives me a reason otherwise for them, that's how it shall remain.
Yeah.
And see, that the world is the stage. There you go. Impress me, folks. Impress me. You got something, you'll rise to the top. But if not, it'll continue to be Matt and my wife and my son. And the new kid, probably, when they come along. Unless they come out as shithead, which could happen.
Well, probably not, because, you know, nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a complete terrible person. Mm-hmm. And your wife's obviously better than you. So.
Well, she's my better half. I'll say that. But
yeah. But you know why?
I didn't think I'd do this.
You know why it's what's
I
on
really
the
didn't.
You know why it's on what's on the inside that counts?
Because sex.
Because vaginas are on the inside.
Everything is sex.
You understand that what I'm telling you is a
universal
truth. Toby.
James Spader. it was here that the nights would crescendo. that house party that he has, my God. A very, very, like, the first time I watch it, I'm like, oh, what a turd this episode is. 2, 3, and 4 times through, like, after I already know, okay, Michael's gone and I just have to deal with it. Like, you watch that episode of the house party that James Spader throws in the office and you're like, oh, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good. Like I said, once you lick your wounds of Michael being gone, you know.
Yeah, James Spader was pretty good. But it's James Spader. He's good in everything, so.
Yeah.
All right. I think that...
I think that about does it. About an hour and a half there, man. Wow.
Yeah, you know.
Lots of thought given.
Chuggling right along.
Yes, that's one was. And one. Thank you for Fox News versus InfoWars. Yep.
We're tied.
Maybe next time. I don't know. Yeah, you know, we'll see. I don't want to bring it up every episode. It's sort of a treat, something special to bring up.
Maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. But
yeah, whenever it comes about organically.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a good game though.
Yeah,
I like it. I dig it.
Well, I'm gonna win next time.
Well, so you say.
I'm going to win.
So you say.
All right. Well, you can find us on the Twitters and on the Facebooks
and everything. Really, I'm really digging Telegram, though. I really got some folks following us on Telegram. It'd be great. You know, telegram.me/givethatsomethought. And you can have the broadcast channel there where we post all sorts of pictures and stuff.
And it goes right to my phone, so, you know, I'm interacting there, too. Only I'm not, but I see it.
Yeah, he sees it. And you need to set a username for Telegram. That way I can give it out. And,
oh, do I?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, I'll think of one.
You can do that, and you can folks right. mention it. Anyways, yeah, there you go. Also, the promise still stands as well. I haven't mentioned it in a couple episodes, I don't think. Yeah, any reviews, emails, correspondence we'll get, it'll be read on the show, folks. It'll be read on the show. That's our promise to you. No matter how vast the views might be contained therein.
Yep. All right, well, so long, everyone, all you post-gender neo-hippies out there in audio land. We'll see you later.
Stunning and beautiful.
Brave, stunning, and
stunning
brave.
And brave.
Stunning
That's
and
right.
brave. Stunning and brave. So long, all you stunning and brave people out there in Audioland.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.